our true essence of who we are.
All right, then. That's what we're doing then.
Yeah.
Shit, right. But... Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll be down there this weekend. I'm probably going to leave early as hell Saturday. And then that means I'll be you. You said we like 8 hours away.
I have no idea. I haven't really been anywhere since you moved out here. So
okay.
I really know nothing about Florida. All I do is go to work, come home. And
that's
my
crazy. You're the only person in Florida that goes to work and come home.
Hey. Hey, that's a, hey,
you know, gangsters don't die. They get chubby and they move to Miami.
Well, that probably just makes them like the normal person
get chubby
Miami,
and move to Miami.
Florida.
Gangsters don't die. They get chubby and they move to Miami. I moved to Miami.
Well,
I'm
hey.
Banned from Wet Willie's, but a person like, fuck it.
I think that's why I needed to go, you know.
That's Lil Wayne, man.
You hear me? That's why I needed to go. Like, remember when I said that I tried to bait the Trump supporters? And they're yelling at me, and none of them did?
Yeah.
Did I talk about this one yet?
Yeah, Prince Harris out here trying to get hung on an oak tree.
Oh, like, man.
He tried his best, but he ain't getting none of their attention.
I felt so bad because they didn't want to fight with me.
Hey, come to Florida. They'll definitely entertain you. Man, they'll last long because they're going to shoot you quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll entertain you.
Yeah, the top part of Florida is Republican. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So, if I want to see the crazy shit, that's where I needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, right above Florida, in one place is Alabama. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And, like, the town that I teach in, they've got the hanging tree, like, right in the, like, the big Catholic circle downtown.
Still?
Yeah.
But nobody said, hey, take that shit down?
No, they keep that there, like, okay, y'all got a line? Remember, we still got this tree.
Mm.
So what you're saying is don't go to Florida.
I'm not saying don't go to Florida. I just say you come to Florida, you just come correct.
Tie your shoes up because you might have to run.
Which?
I'm not sure.
Which I guess it goes into how they were raised, right? The child development thing?
Oh, hell yeah.
That we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
They rhyme.
Yeah, so our subject is pretty much how... This is development. How our early development shapes us as adults, which I guess in turn shapes society. So that's why I asked Pat to be our guest today. So pretty much... We talked about some of it earlier, so tell me about what you see as far as our youth today, as well as you can without getting yourself in trouble.
I think, just as far as what I see, just in the school system, in general, you kind of put me on the spot, but I see a lot of kids who I know we talked about it before. We talked about how like the big gaps between the generations.
Right.
Like each generation, like the gaps are getting bigger. Far as like just that connection. How like, you make it our generation, how we can connect with generate like just with prior. 3 or 4 generations where we can get to the same things that they get into, have those same discussions, and we'll have discussions with them and just have a lot of things in common. Like, we start to see a disconnect with a lot of the kids coming up and the generations before them. But see, like, from what I've seen personally, it seems as if every year there's a lot of things that takes place, whether it's behaviorally, socially, just relationship-wise, just in general, that where kids are just they're not connecting, like not only with the previous generation, but their own generation as well. Like, I think a lot of it has to do with technology. I know we've heard this said time and time again, but. Technology is, I guess, causing, you know, a gap, you know, or putting a gap between people, where things that are designed to bring us closer together are pushing us far apart, so pushing us far away from each other. Like, I see kids who are in the same classroom doing the exact same thing, playing the same game. Not, you know, they're not talking to each other, but like I said, they're playing a game together just on different sides of the classroom. And I think that speaks to society as a whole. You get one of the more popular games that's out now is Fortnite.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, you could play the game with someone, but not be with someone. I know when we were growing up, man, we used to have Madden tournaments, NBA Jam tournaments, and it'd be a crowded house full of people. Just we all seen that together.
And I've seen that too with my nephews, actually. Like, my nephew, I forgot what they wanted me to bring. I think they wanted me to bring my controller when I came to visit them once. So they can play Fortnite together. That was like the last time I ever saw that, because as soon as my other nephew got a phone, all he did was play. He, like, I guess they can cross platform it. He plays Fortnite, yeah. Like you say, he's in the corner of the living room while my other nephew is on the video game console.
Yeah,
and, I know. I used to be with girls and not really be with them. That's as close.
Well, you know,
as
actually, that is a good point. I work with a younger kid. She's 18. And, like, she's actually working at my job because we needed a Spanish speaker.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's her only value to the job, but that's one of the things, the advantages she has. And she says that about her friends. It was a topic of relationships came up. She was like, kids her age don't really date. Like, they just hang around all day and play video games.
And put penis and vaginas together sometimes.
She says they don't even do that.
I think research has actually shown, like, I mean, Holiday, we came up together. We grew up about 2.5 miles apart, maybe.
Yeah.
Away from each other, been the same, you know, primary, elementary, middle school, high school, all that together. And, you know, we could point at several people that we know personally, you know, I mean, within our families who, you know, who are teenage parents. I mean, my parents are teenage parents.
My parents
were. I think one of the good things about, you know, this disconnect that we have is teenage pregnancy is starting to actually
decline.
The numbers are going down. Yeah, they're in a decline.
That means they ain't got to worry about my daughters getting pregnant until they're 30. Whew.
Now, with that, hey, that's a thing too, as well. Me and my wife, or, you know, my wife and me. I've just turned 37. She's 36, and we have a 9-month-old. And yeah. I tell some of my students that they look at me like, "Yo, what's wrong with you? You know, like last time I saw him, I was 36. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Hey, you 36 years old, and you only have one kid, and she's a baby." So, like, no, they're not used to seeing that. But
I think that's a little different, though, because in our generation, we tend to work more. And I don't want to say that like the old being the old head that we work and they don't. But it seems
you said we work more.
Yeah, and I don't mean that as like the old head that always thinks that these kids don't do anything today. I think that what I mean is we tend to set our life aside more than these kids do today.
I think it just depends on, and that's another thing too, when we talk about what shaped a lot of these kids, like their development. Where I see personally, where a lot of kids aren't getting their work done, things like schools don't give us homework like they used to.
Yo, I swear to God, I'm sorry, but my nephew was like that. Like, I am still to this day, my nephew is 11 years old. He's been in school, was he what, 4th, 5th grade now? 5th grade, I think. So he's been in school like 6 years. And to this day, I am perplexed every time he says he doesn't have homework. And I was like, what school do you go to?
They do all their homework online.
Yeah, and that's the trend now. Like, I think research is starting to show that homework is basically pointless. You know, but, I mean, I'm not saying that I agree with it, but that's what all my professional development tells me or whatnot. That,
so do you get homework?
I ain't gonna say it's ineffective. I give projects.
Right.
I give, like, projects, give them things that they can, you know, work on. I give them class time to work on it. That way, I can know if they have any questions, they can ask me directly. I could monitor them, go around the class and see what they're doing. And if it's not something that's on par with what, you know, we're doing, then, okay, we need to change this, or you need to add this, or you need to put that parenthetical citation right there, or,
what you know, the hell is a parenthetical citation? What you say?
Parenthesis.
Parenthetical citation is whenever you're doing MLA format and you do an in-text citation. Come on, Mr. Master's degree. Don't you know this? The holiday is the fence. I don't think they use MLA at the master's level.
I
think
APA.
They use more with
no, you
a-
called it something
yeah,
else, actually.
APA.
You said it was another one. You said
again?
No, he was talking about it last week with me after the show. I told him I still remember APA MLA, but I haven't had to do a paper in a long time.
Mm.
But he named another format, but I can't remember what it was called, like MLS or something like that.
I probably just named something I was looking at that time. But that was, I don't know.
But
I look at so much stuff now.
All right, so what about homework did they call ineffective? Because I would like to think that the extra practice, especially when you don't have a teacher watching over you.
Probably because they ain't got no parents at home to help them.
That's the point where it's like where a lot of people don't do homework because a lot of these kids like not necessarily need to, but they do. Like I have one student that has two jobs. She works 7 days a week.
Dang.
And I said, now that's out of necessity.
Don't you teach
like,
an elementary school?
Like a high school?
No. I teach high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who has two jobs at that age?
Yeah. That's kind of that is extremely young for that.
Especially I teach in a poor community, but I can say a poor community. So like, a lot of those kids, they are the ones taking care of their families. Mm. They have to work to contribute to their households, and you're seeing that a lot more. Like even like when I was teaching in Charlotte, like, a lot of those kids, they didn't have to as much as these kids that I teach now have to. But, you know, a lot of them, like, in order to get what they wanted nice clothes, they had to work for it. They wanted the latest cell phone that might take their whole paycheck, they had to work for it. And I think that's part of the issue is a lot of these kids, they are working. They put more emphasis on working right now as teenagers than
getting
their education.
Right, because I would just sell drugs and get all my stuff done.
That's sad as hell, but I think that goes to what I said earlier about...
Man, come on.
I ain't going to advocate for that. Don't sell drugs, kids, if you're listening.
But I think that goes back to what we said earlier. These kids, they don't do anything nefarious like our generation did. On average, at least. These kids, they seem like they don't like to do anything wrong, or at least anything that could get them in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too.
Unless it's still a skin on Fortnite.
I think that's an issue
as well, too. A lot of kids are afraid to make mistakes. And one thing I try to tell my kids is, mistakes are okay. You know, we're human. We're not perfect. That's one thing I try to do as a teacher. If I make a mistake, I own up to it, you know, as soon as I realize I made a mistake. And, you know, a lot of times, which makes you proud, especially when I taught 7th grade for 1 year.
And I see that.
I was teaching something perfect.
It's only one time that a mistake is not okay, and that's when that one mistake hands you child support for 18 years.
And on that note, we're going to take a break, but I want you to hold that thought, Pat.
but what I'm saying is, though, like, you know, even when I was teaching subject-verb agreement, and I make a mistake, my kids are like, no, Mr. Why is it this? Or what? I'm like, why is it that? You know, they're explaining. I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome. You're right.
All right, subject.
You know, so I'm like, yeah.
Subject.
What?
Subject is weird. Verb is going to take a break. So we'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. This is Kelly.
And this is Amy.
And this is our podcast, In Your Shoes, recording out of Lynx Recording Studios in Somerville, South Carolina.
Need advice on love, parenting, money, success, or anything else life has thrown your way? We are your girls.
You ask, we tell, and we give it to you straight.
Visit our Facebook page, In Your Shoes, the podcast, to ask your questions. If you want to remain anonymous, submit your questions in Messenger.
Find us on iTunes, at Distraction Network, or any place you can download your podcast for free.
That's In Your Shoes, the podcast.
INYO, the podcast on Facebook and Messenger.
I forgot the word shoes. Shit.
Hey, y'all. Snippity diggity.
You said snippity, you wouldn't even know what nothing in the mic.
That's a little inside joke.
Oh, okay.
Inside
of who?
We're back.
Yeah, you had to.
I'm trying to ignore Holiday right now, so we're back. So you were talking about how these kids today are afraid to make mistakes.
Yes.
Now,
I
see that a lot, because there was a conversation we had earlier about, like, a coworker of mine and how, like, I had to tell her to her face that, you know, if I were the manager, I would have taken her off that sale because she just completely just let somebody else do the job for her because she was afraid to try. And I even see it in video games. Like, I'm not a Fortnite guy because, you know, I'm a 35-year-old man.
I'm a player.
I still play Call of Duty.
You played Fortnite about several times.
My nephew's behest. Like, only when they actually, like, they're like, "Uncle, they play Fortnite." I don't get the game. But I play Call of Duty still. And you see these kids literally hide like they're going to die for real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know how it's rare that I actually get, like, the score limit is 75. Oh, if you're playing team deathmatch. It's rare that I get to a game where we get to that 75. The time usually runs out because most of the team is just sitting around hiding because they think they're going to get shot for real.
Yeah, and I think that goes to, like I said, just everybody wants to be perfect. No one's afraid to make those mistakes. Because I think a lot of them, with a lot of kids, actually, I can't speak for, you know, all kids. You know me, I don't like speak. Generalities or anything. But, based on, you know, what I see personally, just, I don't think a lot of kids really, I don't think they set up, they have a lot of room for mistakes. They look at, like, you know, especially where I am now, like, a lot of them, they want to get away. You know, they want to leave and don't come back. So it's one of the things is like, oh, if I make this mistake, I mess up, then I'm stuck here. And I think that's part of, I think, as a teacher, as a teacher, you wear so many hats. So part of that is to be a counselor as well, to be a mentor, to be a coach, in some cases, be a parent figure, you know.
So my question to you then, where does that come from? Because as someone who doesn't have children, the word I've always gotten about parents today is the term helicopter parent. Like, basically, everyone works so hard to catch children if they fail. So what is that fear of failure, what is that coming from?
And it may come from just from that right there. Like you said, everyone ready to catch a kid if they fail. So you're right about that, though. I guess it's called helicopter parents, where they don't allow their kids to make mistakes, you know. I think, which is something else too, which I think is an issue, is they don't allow their kids to advocate for themselves in a lot of cases. And, you know, to be fair, you know, kids need someone to advocate. They need adults to advocate for them, because a lot of times, you know, people just shit on kids because they're kids, you know. But
the child isn't a human being trying to learn.
Exactly. A lot of these kids don't know how to advocate for themselves, speak up for themselves, and do the small things for themselves because they haven't had to. And like I said, you know, that's usually on the other end of, you know, where I am now. Like right now, the kids that I'm teaching now, they don't have a problem with that because all they have is themselves in a lot of cases, where they are the adults, all the adult figures in their household, because they got to take care of younger siblings and things like that. So they got to be the voice for not just themselves, but their siblings. But kids I taught in the past, like I said, I had those helicopter parents that, you know, well, my kid deserves to be in this, or my kid's 15, 16 years old, they can't be responsible for this, or I have to keep up with this. I'm like, seriously? But,
yeah, you know, I kind of had a helicopter parent. I just moved out when I was like 17. And what I always tell people, my experience is, because I wasn't allowed to make those mistakes. Like, even though I'm from Batesburg, Leesville, South Carolina, and being from a small town yourself, when you go out in the big world, you kind of are already behind.
Yeah, baby.
But I was like way farther behind, because even just going out into Batesburg, Leesville, been in the house so much, not by choice, but being in the house so much yeah. and having a helicopter parent, I was that much farther behind. Like, I used to get, like, I can't call it PTSD, but I used to get, like, shook to try to do anything. And then it basically came out to the point where it was like, hell, like, I had to fail a couple of times and then not get afraid of falling in order to be able to succeed. So.
And that's why I've always been wary of the anti-bullying campaigns. And don't answer this question if you can't, because I understand the nature of your job.
If you can, I will.
But the whole, like, notion that we have a whole American campaign against bullying, when simply maybe to teach your kid to throw a punch.
I think bullies are a necessity. Like,
something to have it's to something to
kids.
Overcome.
Yeah, because I tell my kids all the time, like, the only people I used to fight growing up was bullies. Like, I did not like bullies, so I would fight the bullies. And me and one of the bullies is, like, real good friends now, and I never was able to beat his butt. He was the only person I was never able to beat. But we cool today.
He was the only person who was never able to beat? My recollection is we had a girl bully as well in town who, like, I wouldn't necessarily say she was a bully. If she came your way, you had to be ready. So, hey.
Yeah, like, and I let her beat me up. Every time, except for one time. Oh. One time I got tired of her beating me up, so I opened the door. If I would have hit that girl, my mom would have beat my ass. So it got to the point where she walked on my step, and I opened the door so my mama could watch her slap me. And then I just shut the door back, and I commenced whooping her ass. And then I threw her in the bushes and shit. So
did I tell you about my door fight story?
Say it again.
Did I tell y'all about my door fight story?
Yeah, no.
So basically, I was like in middle school, I think 13. I don't know what that is.
I'm joking.
But I was walking to school that day, and a friend of mine, Antoine, he and I got into it. It was me, Antoine, and my homeboy, Sabia. Shout out to Sabia, my best friend growing up. And basically, something happened. And it was over like a plastic, one of those old school plastic baseball bats.
Yeah.
And he caught me in the face with it on the way to school.
Oh.
Right? Like on the lip. So we tussled a little bit, but that was about the end of it. But I get to school, my lip's starting to swell up now. Mm. And now people making fun of me too, right? So now I'm mad as shit the entire day now. I'm just like, I get home and beat the shit out of Antoine. And somehow he gets back home before, like, we didn't walk back home together somehow. So we get there. I go out looking for him at the school, right? I go around the corner where I know everybody lives. I lived like two streets over from all my friends were growing up. And he's there. So we get to fighting, right? Long story short and all that. So he runs. Because even then, I was getting bigger than my friends at that time. Like, I wasn't exactly a big guy yet, but you can tell I was at that point where you can tell I'm about to be a big guy.
Now he bigger than all outside.
So, the hell with you. So he runs, and I chase after him. He runs to his house, his apartment, and his brother opens the door to let him in. I grab Antoine as he's trying to get away, but he's still basically running. We're both basically running.
Right, right, right.
I run up the little small stairs to get to his door.
Wait, man, you was running?
He was running. He was running from me.
I was talking about you running.
Yeah, well, I was running after him.
That's what's up, man.
Hey, pretend him or not.
Yeah. There was a dude in college that tried to fight me. He didn't realize how quick I was. I played football. I was the greatest center in the history of the city of Charleston.
That's what's up.
And basically,
pretend supposed to be opening up holes. Come
on. Basically, as he's getting making his way up the stairs and I'm behind him, his brother picks up the trash can and hits me with it.
Mm. Bang.
So basically, I won the fight because I had won the fight earlier. And it was more of a skirmish, the tussle. But I definitely won the second fight. But in both cases, I took an L because the first one, my lip was swollen. And the second one, I got hit with a trash can like WWF. Mm.
Man, was it like that the scene of Boys in the Hood? You when the wheelchair just rolled up on you, picked the trash can up, just hit you with it.
Boom.
That was on Boys in the Hood, or was that on Dope Be a Menace?
That was on Boys in the Hood.
I seen Boys in the Hood so long.
The crackhead dude snatched his chain, tried to take off running.
I remember that, but I don't remember the scene. But it's kind of like that. Like, he picked the trash can up and just slammed it on me.
Bam, 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 bam,
and I got back home, and my father just laughed at me. He was like, that was your ass get for running into people's houses. And the point to that is, that point to that story is, that was a lesson that I learned, and my father was glad that I learned it. Because now I won't do anything stupid like trying to run up on somebody's house again.
Yeah. Don't ever run into. Even Omar knew that on the wire. Oh, don't go in these little punks' house.
Oh, you was watching The Wire recently, weren't you?
I started The Wire all the way over.
I have a hard time doing
that. That's a good show.
So I think it said it was 5 seasons. I think it's going to take me until the end of the year to watch it, but I started it.
Yeah, well, they get, 24 hour-long episodes in each season?
Yeah, I think each season, except for the last
like
one, was 13.
10.
That long? I thought it was 10 seasons.
It's like 13 episodes a season.
That should take it that long, though, unless you watch one a day. But The Wire actually makes a good point. With school
don't
and everything.
Don't walk in people's houses.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, don't run into somebody's house unless you want to get hit in the trash can.
Yeah, we got to...
The fuck?
Yeah.
That's me rewinding the tape. Pat, we were somewhere, weren't we?
Yeah, schools. And The Wire actually makes a good point with schools, too, because that 4th season, you've seen The Wire already, right, Holiday?
I've seen...
The whole season, the whole series?
I have not seen it all, but you can talk about it because I forget it. I always forget stuff like that.
The 4th season actually talks about conditioning children, because the 4th season, it depicts, it shows the schools and how the schools pretty much are like a farm system for the drug game.
Yeah, that's I think it's in a lot of cases that's definitely true. Every school, every kid, even the teachers know like who, or a lot of the teachers anyway, know which kid are supposed to be the pharmacist of the school. So
Pat definitely doesn't know this.
Say it again.
We want to make the point out that Pat definitely does not know this. So don't ask Pat any questions.
No, that's why I said supposedly. No, I can't do nothing unless I see something. You know, if I see it, I can tell the kids all the time, I'm snitching. But y'all call me snitching, I'm snitching because I gotta do what's right. You know, I gotta do what's right for not just me, my family, whatnot, but I gotta do what's right for everybody else in this classroom. So
I wouldn't call that snitching. That's like calling the cop a snitch.
That's the term they like to use, you know. But I tell them, you know, hey, I got a wife and kid I got to look out for too.
I got to
I care about you. Yeah, but I got to take care of my family too, and I can't have it on my record. I'm letting kids know pass out drugs or whatever, you know, in class.
That's true. All right, but as far as the whole overcoming thing, I mean, it has to be like a fine line. Like, you don't want kids to just get hurt by bullies and stuff like that. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about bullies. Okay.
Yeah, we don't want kids out there getting hurt. But, I mean, there is something to be said about letting a child, you know, overcome something or learn how to take a beating.
I say this, though. We have to be careful with that, too, because, like you said, like, a lot of kids don't know how to cope with things. I remember as society or as a group of people progress through society. And like I said, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. I'm just based on observations or whatnot. But we tend to lose that mental toughness. I'm pretty sure, like I said, a lot of kids in my family that's in the generation below my generation, I don't think they're as mentally tough as we were growing up. You know, we grew up in, you know, Brian or Rumblewood. Whereas, like, you know, you breathe wrong on the wrong day of the week. You know, you'll get in a fight. You might get jumped. You might win some, you lose some. But, you know, we know how to take that. You know, It wasn't like, you know, we're going to do it harm ourselves or like, oh, no one cares about us. No one likes us. You know, anything like that. We weren't going to go and, you know, take it out on anyone else. We want to take it out on ourselves in most cases. But I think, I don't think, a lot of kids today have that level of mental strength that, you know, we had, we were coming up. And I think that's why bullying is such a thing now, because you have a lot more labels on kids nowadays than we had coming up too. You know, with, you know, sexuality and all that stuff as well. To where, like I said, like a lot of these kids can't handle, you know, they can't handle that type of abuse and they end up harming themselves. Right. And not only are they getting that, you know, getting it at school, they go home and they got to go home to an even worse situation. I've seen students like that just don't want to go home because when they go home, it's like, you know, like they don't feel that love. I remember one kid, a girl asked him, he was like, "Yo, why you always following around Mr. Wise and just always around Mr. Rod?" And you know, the boy told her, like, "Hey, he shows me attention." And I said, it's one of the things, like, he didn't get that attention at home. Like, no one ever really sat down and talked to him. No one ever, you know, really, you know, schooled him in certain things in life. Right. And I did that with him. I sat down, you know, just talked to him. He had a little girlfriend, or he'd come talk to me about the issues with his girlfriend, things like that. You know, I sit down and talk to him. And
so you look one of the OG like teachers.
I try to be. Yeah. But, you know, I said, a lot of kids don't have those safe havens at home to go to. So when they're facing issues at school, and then they got to go home and face even more issues from the people that's supposed to love them and the people who supposed to support them, then they look at the world like, okay, no one cares about me in this world. I'm all alone in this world. Like, there's no one for me to turn to, no one for me to talk to. Like, why am I here? And then they're going to harm themselves.
Right.
Like, well, it's heartbreaking. Like, I've had kids.
Ooh,
so we,
that thought, though, Pat? Okay. Sorry to cut you off, but we got to take another break.
Hey, man, you know what? We got to stop all this extra playing around that I be doing. Yeah, we need to stop me from playing around because I didn't mess that up for you. I'm sorry. All right, we're going to take a break, man. And we'll be right back.
Other than the truth, I was standing in front of it. Okay. It was Jason Voorhees for a minute.
You tired of not knowing how to think? You tired of your political party taking you for granted? You tired of being confused by phrases like one of the greatest memories of all time? Well, there's a man out there that's going to save you. A man that Black People magazine voted most. A man that the 45th president of the United States once described as him again. A man that Tulsi Gabbard saw and once tried to take him home to her guru. Come to Discussions with Tez, and he'll show you the way at www.distractionnetwork.com/discussions. All right, we back with Pat, the man who put this all together, who introduced us like a year ago. All right, you were talking about, I guess, safe havens, safe spaces for kids.
Say it again.
You were talking about safe spaces. Like you said, there was a student you had at one point that, you know, he was, sounded like he was more or less your little protege.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, sound like a broken record or anything. But yeah, before we went to break, I was just talking about how a lot of kids face a lot of abuse at school, and they go home and they don't have the support they need at home to deal with whatever issues that they're facing outside of their home. Like I said, it's not just at school; it could be at work or wherever, you know, just out in the streets, out and about. And I think a lot of that, you know, causes a lot of kids to harm themselves, self-mutilation, suicide, or, like I said, just to lash out at other people. Right. And that's one thing I try to tell my students, like, listen, y'all joking with each other. Like, I have a group of boys. They love talking about each other's daddies, yeah. Which, that's cool because they all can handle it. They're in the same circle and they're joking with it. They know it's nothing serious. Like, you know, they know, like, you know, they know what it is.
Right.
You know, they don't get mad with each other. They're not trying to fight anything like that. Like, the same thing we used to do in real school where we talk about each other's mamas, you know. But you know, there are, you know, those kids who, like I said, just can't handle that. And you know, they'll do things to other people and, you know, or do things to themselves. And, yeah, so what I was saying is I try to encourage my kids not to bother other kids in that manner, because you never know what someone is going through, not just at school, but at home as well.
Right.
And when you sit there and you talk about them and you make fun of them, you bring unwanted attention to them, then they tend to do things, horrible things, like I said, not just to themselves, but to other people.
But, you know, I've seen...
I was just saying, like, you just never know what someone is going through, even if it's adults. Like, people don't think about it this way. I've seen, but I ain't gonna necessarily say, kind of, sort of, like, teachers get bullied. When I first started teaching full time, the guy that I replaced, he would be bullied by the student. I'm pretty sure I told you the story before, so... I go to visit the school before I officially started, and I walk through the class. One girl looked at me like, "Yo, you got a new teacher?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Oh, we're gonna get rid of you just like we did the last dude." You know what happened a year later?
What?
That same girl that told me that bring me breakfast in the morning. Never, like, she was in a cooking class, so whenever they switch breakfast here, you know, made it a point to come bring me some. When she graduated from high school,
yeah,
but she made it a point to get a picture with me. You get a picture of me before she after she graduated. So,
think that comes from, that sounds like you just, they saw the strength in you that they didn't see from the last person. Because I think what you're talking about, like the safe havens and that's fine, but I've seen like the negative side of that in adults. I had a coworker within the last couple of years. She couldn't handle the job because, you know, she needed a safe space. And every job I've worked, I'm not saying I've worked like glamorous jobs or anything like that, or like shit jobs, but every job
even
I've worked.
Even that time you worked at Glamour Shots?
I'm going to go ahead and just ignore that. I've always worked jobs where you have to have a bit of an edge to you, right?
Yeah.
She didn't have that edge. And when she mentioned the fact that, you know, she was like, you know, work was supposed to be a safe space, and I was like, I don't know what type of job you've ever worked. Now, mind you, again, maybe I'm colored. My thoughts are colored by the fact that I've always worked jobs where you needed to be tough because these people eat you alive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the public will eat you alive if they can. And I was like, maybe
they said they were stupid.
Yeah. So I'm like, if you just went through something, or just, you know what, take the lumps and give some back yourself, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
But apparently she never learned that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as like you said, I mentioned something. Like, that fact they ain't been a teacher, man. Like, I said, I'm 6 feet, and she had a time, I was probably 235, and in really good shape, you know. You can wear my little muscle shirts as well, you know, to work sometime. you know. But, I had a student squirrel with me once, you know. I wish I was 235 now, but that's a different conversation for another time. But, you know, one kid squared off with me. And, you know, it's one of the things that catches you off guard because he's like, yo, I can't show no weakness here because all the other kids are looking to see how you handle this, you know. And then at the same time, it's like, okay, I'm the adult in the room as well, so I can't, you know, I can't add to this chaos and make things worse than what they are.
You can't stoop to the level, basically.
And then say, you know, I'm on the internet forever, you know? So, yeah, like, it's just like sometimes you got to make those split-second decisions as a teacher. And like I said, man, that kid right there, he was, you know, going through some things, you know, at home as well. But I was saying, like, my point, like, you never know what someone is going through. Sometimes... It's just smiling at people, just cracking a joke with someone. Sometimes it makes all the difference in the world, you know. Just asking someone, you know, how they're doing, how their day is going, you know, things like that. It makes all the difference in the world. So I guess going back to the whole bullying thing, like, it is an issue because, like I said, people. I don't think people, not just kids, people in general. And actually, I don't like to generalize, but people in general. Aren't as mentally strong as, you know, the previous generations. I mean, we see it with our ancestors being through. They never thought about, for the most part, they didn't think about killing themselves. But I think, you know, we do need to learn how to be nicer to each other, how to speak to each other. And going back to what I was saying earlier, with that those disconnects that we have where we don't converse with each other impression like we used to. Like, think about it. Even with home, we, a lot of people don't even talk on phones anymore. They just text all day.
Look at the Trump supporters. Like, instead of getting down with somebody who's right there in their face playing I Don't Give a Fuck by Tupac or Do It Like a Jill by the Ghetto Boys, they go on Facebook and talk about how they love Trump. Like, no, I'm right here right now. Listen, right now the ring is set up. Put the gloves on. Let's go. And they just didn't argue with me, Pat.
I said the good thing about Trump, though, man. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, the good thing about Trump being in office right now is we look at people and we know where they stand now. Because, you know.
That's the only thing that I was hoping that you was going to say. Because like, anything else would be unsatisfying.
I looked right at Holiday when he said that shit too. Like, oh shit, here we go.
I wouldn't even look.
Time to get real.
I didn't even look Prince in the eyes just now. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to cut this shit out.
I was like,
I'm about to be so disappointed. I ain't even look for him no more. I can't even get down with that dude. I don't even know who he is anymore.
But what I mean, like, where do you see this taking society? Because in my other life. Like, my other life is full of people who make these bad choices, like, financially or what have you, and decide to come yell at me because I'm pretty much, I'm not here to fix your life, bro. Like, actually, my job title says retail. Like, I'm here to make your life worse in the long run.
But I say that goes to, as well, like, for those of you who don't know, I am an English language arts teacher. So, one thing... I do teach is I teach kids how to analyze not just text but just information. Information all around, all levels of information, all types of information.
Right.
So I think what happens is a lot of time people don't understand how important, like, you know, you're like what's something you read recently? If you're like when you're reading Oedipus. So when you're looking at the, when you're writing a thematic essay on Oedipus, and you got to talk about how did Sophocles talk about the theme of fate versus free will in Oedipus, and you know, just being able to dissect the text and basically. Tell us, you know, how you came to that conclusion, why you feel the way you feel about it, and cite sources, cite information. Go back to the conversation you and I had earlier today when, you know, like I said, you cited your source. So you didn't just say, well, I feel this way. Like, no. The irony is that I was the one talking about this, I feel. But you cited your source and, okay, this is what the source said. This is research they did. So you have more validity on your side. And that's what I fight with kids, get them to understand, you know, is, you know, you need to be able to analyze not just tests, but real life situations. This is what this is practice for. You know, whenever they ask, why do I need to know this? Why do I need to read, you know, a text from, like, I don't know what, 500-600 years ago, and then be able to analyze and do this and that, because I tell you, it's practice. It's taking something that's unfamiliar to
practice.
You.
Yeah,
taking something that's unfamiliar to you and allowing you to break it down beyond what's on the surface of it, and then dig deeper and pull out information that you just won't get just from reading it on your first go round.
Like somebody once said, I can't remember who it was, but like a teacher isn't really just teaching you facts; a teacher is teaching you to think.
Yeah, and that's what education is going towards now. I know a lot of, and I hate that we get so caught up on test scores and whatnot. I know a friend of ours, and we all know him, Ashley Michelle last name with two friend tests. Joe. Yeah. My boy Joe.
Tell him something, Joe.
What's up, Joe? JC calling. But
whatever,
well,
that nigga don't listen. He don't listen to the podcast. I ain't shouting him out.
He might listen to this one, but anyway. But, you know, Joe told me, like, and I say he's been around the world, I haven't, you know, so I got to go off of what he's telling me.
Did he say it was the same song or not?
Well, he said, like, overseas, a lot of times, like, the reason why I think their kids do better on testing because they're taught to take information in and regurgitate it back to you. Right. So like, so they're not like, you know, over here, like I said, we're in a capitalistic society. You know, we actually try to teach our kids to think, freely, to be innovative. You know, we try to teach our kids that in school. So while we do, and we do teach to the test, we do. Like, I've never talked to the test as much. But anyway, yeah, we do teach to the test. But
it was like, he better go off.
What year did Columbus sail the ocean blue?
Hey.
The answer is A.
You know, but I think we do a good job of teaching our young people how to be thinkers as well, to be analytical. And I think that's where we differ from the rest of the world, based on what I was told.
You sure about that, though? Because, I mean, like I said, my other life...
I did, that's what I was told.
Yeah, I was just saying, because in my other life, man, like, it's full of people who just don't think.
Yeah,
that's also privilege that comes into it, too. You're probably talking privilege over there, Prince.
What do you mean?
And like, I don't think we give our young people enough credit. You know, I know as much crap as we talk about our young people, I don't think we give them enough credit. Like, a lot of these kids are resilient. You know, we're starting to see now, like, a lot of kid millionaires, like, doing stuff in, what, 14, 15, 16 years that, you know, a lot of people, 20 years, they're seniors, haven't even figured out yet. And that's, you know, how to make enough money, to where you can retire, not just yourself, but, you know, people in your family. So, I mean,
and instead of becoming rappers, they become influencers. And instead of becoming porn stars, they become fans only people. And that reminds me, I need to redo my fans only subscription.
This is one of those moments where you just ignore him, Pat.
And it's funny you bring that up because I just read something about that today. Fans on, like, I've never heard
I thought
before.
You were about to say that you just renewed. I was just joking, Pat.
as soon as I read something about it, you mentioned that. I'm like, but like you said, man, like, you know, kids are creating content now on, like I said, YouTube or whatnot. You know, I know Mary Princess had a conversation earlier today about, you know, young people, you know, becoming actors and things like that. We don't see a lot of American actors and actresses.
Young American actors.
Like, young American actors.
Actually, young American male actors becoming action stars.
Yeah, that right there.
Yeah, all the action movies today are basically old dudes.
But, you know, like I said, we do see a lot of young people creating their own content on YouTube, which they figured out how to monetize it, you know, and they're learning how to handle their own finances and things like that. So a lot of times, you know, when people, my nephew says it all the time, like, oh, yeah, I want to be a YouTube, whatever, and, you know, I don't think people in my family take it that seriously, but, you know, I try to encourage them, like, okay, listen, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, don't just say you want to do it and you're going to be lazy with it. Like, yo, these people who do it, they put a lot of time and effort and you make, in some cases, a lot of money into it. You know, so you can't just say, I'm going to do it and just think, you can play a video game and put it out there and talk over it and that's it. Like, you got to put time in, you know. And you gotta find a way to be different, to differentiate yourself from everybody else that's doing it. So it's not enough just to say, oh, I want to do this. Okay, you got to do it.
Right.
You know, I said I wanted to be a football coach. I put in time to be a football coach, you know, and I'm a damn good football coach. You know?
That's right, the
and
best ever. 2,000 times Super Bowl champion. Okay.
I do have a couple of championship rings. So yeah, one for being a player, one for being a coach. So I got a couple of championship rings.
Bumpy, man. Bumpy.
So what? Hey, it's not my fault that you decided not to come that year.
My mama said I couldn't play.
Oh, so you missed the title.
Hey.
Yeah, I missed the title. Yeah. I got the champion. I got the runner-up. Necklace from the year before. I got a runner up ribbon from the year before. And they won the championship.
I was actually supposed to play in that game. But then I guess we aggravated a knee injury and in practice that earlier that week, and Coach Strickland looked at me like, oh dang.
But you wanna know who took my spot when I didn't play my senior year?
Maurice.
God damn it, Maurice.
When I didn't play my senior year, Maurice took my spot, and that's he got that extra year playing at starting football, starting at receiver, and made it.
Yeah. Maurice, man, that's what I got.
Maurice, you owe me about $7 million from going to the NFL because I didn't play that year. Therefore, you got an extra year, and therefore you got all that NFL money. So now you let me borrow like $7 million, man.
Maurice, your time's up.
I will say this to Maurice's defense. Y'all also were two different types of receivers. Maurice was like the bigger, wasn't as fast, had good hands.
No, you know, I was bigger than Maurice back then, though. But you know what, though?
Nah,
I will tell you this, though. Maurice, like, I would have never made it to the NFL because I never had that mind frame. So it was definitely a benefit. And like I don't take nothing back. Like it was a benefit. I was probably gonna waste a year of playing football.
Who is Maurice?
Maurice is one of our friends, part of the wood.
What's his name?
Yeah.
He's in the NFL.
Maurice
apparently.
Duncan.
Maurice who?
No, he's not in it. He's not in NFL no more. Yeah,
but he made it there.
I'm 30. Maurice might be 37 next year. Maurice ain't playing no football.
What's his last name again?
Simpkins.
All right, look him up. I don't remember that guy.
He's a big CFL star, though. He is not a CFL star anymore, but he was. He used to be.
No, he didn't play. He played indoor league. He didn't play CFL. He played in indoor football league. He played for the.
That's not called CFL?
No, CFL is Canadian. No.
Canadian, yeah.
Yeah, he played for the Green Bay Blizzards, and then Green Bay Packers picked him up. He didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And, He played, you know, he actually played in some games, you know, in that season. And then I think he got cut later that season.
Damn.
I guess it's when they got healthy. He ended up getting, you know, they had to cut somebody, so they let him go. And he did not get a Super Bowl ring. He contributed to their success that season. Played on the field, in game, actually real life games, NFL game, and did not get a Super Bowl ring. He was so hurt.
I'm hurt for him, shit.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're going to make him a fucking ring.
And like you said, like, it was one dude who was on a practice squad, never got activated, and he got a ring.
Well, practice squad means you're technically on the team.
So what?
Was he white?
Nah, he's a black dude. I think he was a receiver or something. Because
Well, think about practice squad, you're essentially on the team.
Man, if you don't start speaking on that mic right...
I'm one of my.
And that's one thing I do. That's one thing I do try to sell as a coach. I know I'm talking education, but that's one thing I do try to sell as a coach. But hey, that practice squad, that's you, because if you know y'all ain't paying. No attention.
I am paying attention.
but I was saying. So as a if your scout team isn't getting your offense, defense, special team prepared, then it comes Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever level you on.
Right.
Then you know you're not gonna look good come game time because you didn't get that real live, or close to game type of scenarios during practice. So,
Pat, but you know what? Those be the ones that sell their rings, so Maurice could just look out and get him a ring anyway.
So Pat, man, tell everybody where they can find you. Online.
No. Pat, before you do that, go ahead and close out. Say things that you want to say. Yeah, exhaust yourself out on saying what you want to say about yourself and then tell them where they can find you.
I mean, I really don't have much I want to say about myself. I got to give a shout out once again to my beautiful, loving wife.
Hey, Ashley.
Ashley Wise, my daughter, Noelle Simone Wise. Hopefully you listen to this one day. Maybe not, because I don't know how to sound right now. But
yeah, that's my fucking
I don't have
you. Like, Daddy,
that's you. And hopefully I next baby Patrick Terrell Watts a second. Hopefully, you know, we have a board in that school round. But I don't have anything else I have to say. I want to say, man, there's no place to really find me. I guess Coach Pat Wise at Twitter. I don't know, but I'm not really big into social media and anything like that.
We could tell him you said Coach Pat Wise at or in Twitter. Yeah, we know. We know you don't use it.
And apparently I need to make my Facebook private because some of my students have been looking me up on Facebook. I am on LinkedIn.
They've been trying to go see your print. I'm talking about some kind of, ooh, teacher, Mr. Wise got a print. Let me go see his prints on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
No. But I am on LinkedIn, Patrick Wise.
That's the first time somebody plugged the LinkedIn.
Hey, I'm trying to
LinkedIn
network,
is technically social media.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also a writer as well. Haven't had much time to write. I have a short story that been trying to get Prentice to read forever, and he refused to read it.
How was I refused to read it?
I guess it's not that good. I guess that's where television is not that good.
How the hell would I know it's not that good if I haven't read it yet, Pat?
You read the first couple of pages.
Did I?
Yeah. I don't know. I've been in the process of writing a novel for the last decade. But yeah, that's about it about me.
That's what's up, man. Dr. Listen, y'all been on the lookout for Pat, because Pat is teaching your kids how to be, like, real dope at life.
And I'm just teaching kids how to snort dope.
And I'm going to start teaching these kids to ignore the shit that he says sometimes.
I'm joking.
You see their little Bobby? When he said that shit there, just keep moving.
All right. And you can find me on www.distractionnetwork.com. Everything that you need to know is right there.
You can find me at MantaMusa7th at Twitter. And, I got an Instagram now. Shit, I ain't doing nothing on it yet. But, yeah, the same thing, MantaMusa7th.
You don't want to look at that Instagram.
At all, because there's nothing on there.
No. When he start putting stuff up there, you don't want to look at it. Because then you gotta see his face.
Well, that's why Kamala Harris is supporting Joe Biden now.
Hey, man, you know Kamala Harris is supporting Joe Biden now?
That's what your ass get.
And... Yeah, Bernie Sanders is getting position. Support from Jesse Jackson. I don't know who I'm fucking with now.
You got to fuck with Bernie because he is going to fix the country.
Okay. I want to ask. I know y'all two are into politics and all that type stuff. I ain't into
politics. My wife said I can't get anyone in politics. When Kamala came, she was like, no, you can't get in.
I saw Kamala and I wanted to holler.
So how do y'all feel about, Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders, he's making all of these great promises. How do y'all feel about how do y'all feel about that? Like, do y'all think, if he gets elected as president, do y'all think he'd be able to do any of the things he's going to get?
Right, there's two scenarios that goes on here. One, in order to figure this out, you have to know that in American government, the executive branch is the weakest of the branches. So it's the most popular branch, but it's also the weakest of the branches. So if he's elected president, the rules still have to go through the House. It still has to go through Senate. In order for everything to fly by with him, not only does the House and the Senate need to be a Democratic House and Senate, it needs to be liberal. And even if they're both Democratic, they're not going to be liberal. So those laws won't pass through. So
I don't know about the whole being weakest thing, because as I understand it, it's checks and balances. They're all supposed to be equal. It's just different.
Nah.
But I agree with the sense that he's not going to get this shit done in the first term. But I think that's par for the course for any president, especially if they have two terms. Because what's going to have to happen is he's going to have to try to get some of this stuff done. And then the people are going to have to see that their legislative representatives ain't with it and then vote them out.
Yeah, just like all the rules that Trump has been changing, it's not going to really start taking effect until probably, they said this summer, but most definitely next year.
Yeah, that's why the people who try to like claim that he's the one that's right at the economy, No, we're still seeing the after effects of the fixes that were made during the Obama administration.
And the only thing he did was give us a quick boost in, like, last year, gave us a little pay raise bump in our taxes or whatever. that we're gonna see exactly why he did that, because everybody signed off on it in order for all these big businesses to take all the rest of the money on the back end.
Right.
So yeah, it's steadily gonna be a downfall. So anything that Trump did, we're gonna see with the new president, hopefully at the beginning of next year, when everything's gonna be blamed on the new president.
But I think what would mitigate that though is if Trump is a one-term president. Because if he becomes a two-term president, I mean, all this shit we love now that Obama gave us, he needed two terms to do that. And all the stuff that he was getting flack for when he took office, Bush took two terms to do that. So that's the thing that's going to be very imperative if Trump is a one-term president. Now, will he be? I don't know, because, I mean, it seems like you have people again openly saying that if their candidate isn't up there, they're not going to vote.
I don't think that's going to happen, though, because I think that whoever doesn't get the nomination, whoever doesn't get the nod, is going to endorse the other person just because everybody knows what's in stake.
Yeah.
Not in stake, at stake.
And I think a lot of people just really want Trump out that badly. Yeah. You know, they want to get him out of the Oval Office that badly, because they're willing to vote against Trump. Not for the other guy, but just against Trump.
I'll say this though: don't underestimate the amount of people, because America did this last time. Black people didn't, but America did. Don't underestimate the amount of people who are going to vote for Trump, but just ain't saying nothing to you about it.
That's true too.
And don't be fooled by all these black people wearing Trump hats now. They're getting paid to do it. Like, I've actually gotten an email. They're getting paid to do it.
I've seen so many. I saw like two black dudes at the Trump rally just out there just selling paraphernalia.
Yeah. And they're going to go vote for whoever's blue, but because they're just getting paid to do it. Not quite. Some of them will, but most of them are not. They're just getting paid to do it.
Just don't have an existential crisis like he did when he texted me that Kamala Harris endorsed Joe Biden. This dude, man.
It broke my heart, man.
I was like, get it together, bro.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're on.
You let me do a two-part? Oh, so this is like a two-parter, huh?
Oh, no, we were just rambling.
It might, more than likely, it'll be a one-parter.
This happened to Sonny. Like, we just, like, kind of went over time.
Not that much over time, though. You just Pat, though.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? We going to, like, close out on Pat? The fuck?
Yeah.
Are you trying to zip it up and zip it out now?
He says that to you, too?
Oh, man, I'm saying to everybody.
He's going to say that at the end of the podcast.
I was going to say, you stole my thunder now. Now I got to find something else.
My buzz.
You stole my thunder.
Damn, Holiday.
I'm going to say it anyway. It sounds better coming out my mouth.
It no homo, but it does. Pause.
I knew you were going to say that, or Princess was going to say pause.
All right, man. Go ahead, man. Say it.
Well, zip it up and zip it out.
Holla.
All right, so that's it for us here at Lynx Recording Studios in Somerville, South Carolina. Y'all can catch me on Twitter at MansonMoosa7th, or catch me at www.distractionnetwork.com/discussions. Y'all be good. Peace.